Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined with my good friend Avery Zaretsky. Cody will be hopping on shortly. Tough to have the positive vibes for this one off the bat, but going to try to stay in a good mood here, I feel like, you know, and just do our best to get through this show. Obviously, this one sucks, but I'm not going to say too much off the bat. Avery, what are you feeling? What do you got going? And just to give a heads up to anyone listening, we're recording on Sunday at 6:15, so we've had, you know, a little less than 24 hours to really soak this all in.
Yeah. First, your face is shaved, so
yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, I got rid of the beard as soon as I could. I got compliments on it, but it was fucking itchy, and I did not love it.
It wasn't your look.
No, not for me. Not for me. But
yeah. First thing I want to say, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's listened to this show. The culmination of my life as a Ranger fan, it's truly surreal that I get to do this. It's just insane, like, to get to talk and people want to hear what I have to say. And
I don't.
They support. I know you don't, but like they support the show. They wear the merch. They come up to us during games and say they love the podcast. Like, that to me means the most, and it keeps me, like, I was thinking, like, I don't know what I want to do. I'll get deeper into it, but you know, it's hard when something like that happens and you start questioning everything. But you guys, the listeners, are a big reason why it's easier to push forward, right? So thank you guys. But it's so difficult because you feel like I'm 26 years old. I've been a Ranger fan my entire life. It's in my family blood. If you don't know, when the Rangers won the cup in 94, my family held the sign, "Now I can die in peace." It's been such a big part of my life. And we didn't go on family vacations growing up because we had Rangers season tickets. And that was my life. And it still is. I live in Miami, but it's still a huge part of my life. And this team every year feels like a new relationship. And for me, when I have a relationship, I've had three girlfriends in my life, but whenever I have a relationship, I put 150% into it. I care so much about
your
significant other. I'm a simp and I'm a simp for the Rangers. And
that's the best thing. That's a quote right there.
And sure. It's true. And I put so much into being a fan. 82 games, I'm locked in, I'm sitting on my couch, and there's times where I can't catch them all. But like if I'm not on my TV by my TV, I'm on my phone watching the game. And this relationship has its moments, right? Like you have the game at the Meadowlands, and it's amazing. And you can compare it to, like, you know, hitting milestones in your relationship and all these amazing things happen, right? But when the worst parts of your relationship happen, when something like last night happens, you start thinking about why do I put so much time and effort into things that just end up breaking your heart? And I know you go through life and you find a significant other that eventually ends up being the one.
I'm starting to think this is about the Rangers.
Well, it's emotional. It's just such, like, a dude. I don't
know.
Did
you see an ex-girlfriend last night?
No, something? I'm just trying to speak from the heart in terms of I care so much about the New York Rangers. I put everything into them, everything I can, and I'm just heartbroken, and I don't know how to handle. Like, I can't even think about next year. I'm sure we have a ton of fan questions and I want to answer them, but I don't know.
We'll do that. We'll do another episode after the exit meetings.
Yeah.
And just, I want to say, I don't mean to cut you off, but appreciate everyone who submits questions. We're not going to do them on today's show just because we want to talk, the three of us, when Cody hops on. But we will do them at some point this week.
Yeah. I guess basically what I'm trying to say is I'm having a tough time right now thinking about how I'm going to go into next season. And obviously, you know, I'm always going to be a Rangers fan. it's a part of my life, but I don't know if I can lock into a regular season after everything that we've been through. Like, it's just like, I don't know.
First of all, I appreciate you speaking openly.
It got a little
off topic there.
But it's like, but it's comparable, right? Like,
yeah.
Like you find something that you love so much and it just ends up breaking your heart every year. I say 26 years, I've been alive 26 years, but I've probably been conscious Ranger fan for 20. So it's like 20 years of just getting excited, getting ready. And then it's just heartbreak after heartbreak after. And this one, I put so much faith into this team. I said throughout the whole way, this team was going to win the Stanley Cup. And I truly felt it. I wasn't just saying it just to say it. I put everything I had in it mentally into this. Like obviously I'm not on the ice and I can't do it for them, but mentally my brain was that this team was winning the Stanley Cup and I'm heartbroken. And I wish I had something positive to say, but I don't.
Yeah. No, I think it's nice that you're just talking about your feelings or whatever, but yeah. You know, I don't really know what I want to say. I don't know. You know, it was my first full season, like really covering the team, and that was cool and that was special. Just for new listeners of ours, this was the third full season, fourth season that we've had this show. It was originally called Believe in Rangers, then it was the Blue Yorker, and now it is the Blue Crew. Avery hopped on. This was Avery's first full season on our show, right? Like, yep. You did a couple shows last year, but first full season this year with Cody. Cody's been with me now for, I think, 3 full seasons. I did that first half season by myself, but this was the first one where the Rangers were like my job. And what made this cool, and also part of just like the commitment and whatever, you know, I'd quit my full-time job last summer and I'd spent a lot of my own money, you know, to travel with the team and to go to games. And, I don't get my flights paid for or hotels paid for. So anytime I was on the road, it was out of my own pocket and whatnot, and travel and all that stuff. And, you know, just like you, everyone's invested in their own way, right? Like, you're invested in this team and, you know, it's obviously on the players on the ice, but like everyone feels a part of it, right? And that's the beauty of sports. And that's why I know you're sad today, but you will come back in October and you'll be just as fired up as you were last October. You know, it's just how it goes. Like, these first couple weeks, they suck, but you know, once the summer gets gone and you miss hockey, you're like, fuck, I can't wait for the Rangers season to start. And that's a positive right now, is that we won't have to wait that long. You know, we got 2.5 months maybe till training camp starts rolling up around again, and then we're back at it. So my initial thoughts, though, like the game, you know, I was out for the game. I was going to watch it originally on my couch, but I had friends at a bar watching it. So I didn't want to like just be alone, honestly, and watch it. Yeah. So I actually ended up rewatching the game this morning. Which is kind of funny because I just put myself in misery twice, but
that's insane.
Yeah, insane. And listen, I felt way worse about the Rangers last year than I do now. Like, to me, going into this season, there were a lot of questions and a lot of what ifs that I think were answered, you know. And I think that's something you can kind of look at and understand and take into next season, that we have those answers and use it in a positive way. You know, some of those questions going in were, you know, is Vinny Trocheck that guy? Like, can he be a big part of this team after what was somewhat of a underwhelming year last year? And Trocheck proved it. Can Lafreniere be a number one overall pick and be, you know, maybe one of the go-to guys? I think he answered that. I think he can be. And if anything, maybe he could be the guy at one point sooner than later. You know, and then, you know, obviously there was no real concern about him, but he delivered again. Was Peter Laviolette the right hire, the right voice? Pretty clear to me that I think he is. That staff will be back. You know, it's a foundation and a standard that was set this year. Granted, they didn't reach the ultimate goal, but we're talking about a team that didn't really make a sweat too much through the first two rounds, which you don't really get very often. So I think there is some things to be appreciative of with this season. Like, we can get into this question because it's a question obviously we're all going to ask, and every player will tell you, and most people will tell you, this season is a disappointment or a failure. I don't know, from my perspective, obviously the cup is the goal, but I don't know if I can sit here and say this is a total failure, because I remember how I felt going into the year, and had I found out the Rangers would be 6 wins away from the Stanley Cup at the end of the year, I would have been very happy with that. You know, like, there was a lot of unknown, a lot of uncertainty. You know, we're talking about a roster on opening night that had Nick Bonino, Blake Wheeler. You know, there was just so many different questions and things that we didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was a magical run, man. Like, it's one of those that it just stings because it sucks, because it felt like everything was going our way. But what I can also sit here and say, honestly, is that, like, there wasn't a real point in that series where I felt like the Rangers were in control of it. And that's kind of what's made it easier to accept, you know, like the Devils series, they're up 2-0. The Devils look like they had no business being in it. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they wake up and they're alive. And then we lose that series. The Tampa series, that one was magical too. We go up 2-0 at home, then go up 2-0 in Game 3. And then all of a sudden this flip is switched. And then that's out of our hands. You know, this one the whole way, Cody's now joining. And Cody, we'll let you just kind of jump into your feelings.
You said this flip is switched.
Switch is flipped?
Yeah.
Switch is flipped.
It was
funny. Thank you for correcting me. Yeah,
I need it.
But you know what I mean? Like, this was the one series, I feel like, where in the last couple of years where, like, it never felt like they had overcome that, you know?
I know. I just – you go through 82 games. You go from October to June, and I said it before, you know, 20 years, and it just hasn't been done. For me, that's where the disappointment comes in. I understand that, you know, there's a lot of positives for this team going forward, but I also just think that This is my buy-in was full 150% on Team of Destiny. Like, this was the year, and it just wasn't. So I think that's where the disappointment comes in.
Cody, let's hear your initial thoughts. It's been a pretty emotional opening 12 minutes here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks.
Connect your mic, by the way. I don't know if your mic's connected.
It's not.
Yeah, it's probably not. Yeah. I mean, it sucks, right? Like, that's it. It sucks. It was a tough series. We never really, you know, I mean, we all watched it, right? Like, they never really overcame what they needed to get past the Panthers. They kind of just got bullied the whole series. You thought, listen, the team was special, yes, but you thought they were special enough that somehow they were just going to find a way. I mean, did that all season, right? Like, even last night, Panarin,
I thought they were going to tie it up. I really did. Right? I did.
Like, yeah. I didn't think they were going to tie it up. I knew they were going to lose. So, but when he scores that goal, you're like,
it was like, and the fact that it was Panarin,
you're like, holy shit. Okay. They have a minute and 30 seconds. Can something crazy happen? Like, the thoughts ran through your head, and that, you know, I don't think I was, I wasn't even nervous yesterday until they scored the second goal. When they scored the second goal, I was like, holy shit, this team's actually not it, huh?
Yeah.
You know, it's just tough, right? I mean, it's tough. They got outplayed, and, you know, I think the Panthers are probably going to kick the shit out of the Oilers if the Oilers end up winning, but which sucks, because I think we would have too. But you know, it is what it is. I mean, the thing that hurts the most for me, and I said this all year, like, I mean, I think I said this in the off season to you, Johnny. I think even before, like, Avery was like part of the crew, like, this team wasn't building a dynasty, right? Like, they weren't. They were building for one championship. They were gearing up for one championship, and like, everybody thought this was the year. And I just don't know how this team is going to get any better. And that's the thing that hurts, I think, for me the most, because they're in cap hell, dude. They're in cap hell. I mean, you can say they'll get better because they have Othman and Perreault in the pipeline. Totally. But like, you know, playoffs are different, man. And when you get there, right, you need vets who are putting up goals and putting up points in big moments. Like, we weren't getting that all series in the Panthers. Like, you know, I just don't see how this team can get better and get over the hump. Like, Panthers are just, I'm pretty sure they're just as young as we are. They're like right around the same age, their core. So it's
I don't know.
The problem is that you just can't, you can't build a dynasty, right? Like, there's 32 teams. It's so hard to win. It's like winning the lottery. And yeah. I don't know.
But teams do it, though. That's the thing. Teams do it. The Lightning did it. Panthers back to back in the Cup.
Now there's more teams.
Can I say one thing about Florida, too, though? Which, just to Cody's Othman-Perot comment, also, like, something I've been thinking about a little bit. I'm sure I'm going to talk about it tomorrow on Morning Cup of Hockey, but, like, Florida's a team where you can kind of make the argument, like, you don't necessarily have to build through the draft. Like, I know there are two guys are Ekblad and Barkov, who I believe were both like one. Those are 1 and 2 picks.
Yeah.
Like, I'm almost positive Ekblad was a 1 overall and Barkov was a 2nd overall.
Yeah.
And granted, those two panned out. But like, you look at the rest of their team, it's guys like Verhaeghe and Reinhart and
Tkachuk,
Montour,
Bennett,
the guys
Forsling.
Who were picked up in
Forsling
trades.
Was DFA'd.
Forsling was a guy on waivers, wasn't he? Like,
yeah, dude.
Like, it's guys that they've kind of picked up along the way. So, you know, I kind of think back to our deadline conversation, and we're talking about like protecting prospects or saving picks. And it's like, I don't know how necessarily important that really is at the end of the day. Like, but, I know you want to have a good future. You don't want to, like, you know, you don't want to salvage everything for one chance at it. But I don't know.
But here's the thing. The Panthers built their team differently than we did. And I think Drury built the team wrong. Listen, at the time, everybody was excited about certain moves he made. And you know, I still think he made some good moves. But, you know, locking up Fox, obviously the right move.
Yeah.
I know Panarin wasn't Drury, but, like, you had to do it at the time. No-brainer, regardless of how he played the playoffs. But then there's obviously, like, other, like, the Mika contract. Now you're looking back at it and you're like, oh shit, like, you know, there's the argument could be made like Mika is not a 1C. Like, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? Like, the argument could be made, and it's just tough knowing that, like, we got the shit kicked out of us and out muscled the entire series. And, you know, they threw in Matt Rempe, I think, in four of the 6 games, and, like, he didn't do shit. Like, you know, like, they didn't really play him either. But that's what I'm saying, though. They threw in our big guy, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's going to scare the shit out. Like, dude, they had, like, they have 5 guys like that who were just I can't even count the amount of times we just got checked in the face yesterday and somebody got taken down. There was, like, 8 different shifts where a Rangers player just got fucking leveled. And the Panthers just kept playing and moving the puck forward. Like, they built their team, like, straight up, like, gritty, edgy, tough, and, like, that's something, you know, I know we were like, okay, we need to get faster, but like, that's something we're lacking, man. Like, I mean, like, that we were looking at a 21-year-old kid to be our savior in terms of toughness, if you think about it. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I do think the Panthers deserve a lot of credit, though. Like, they are a very fucking good team. They are. They're a very good team. And, you know, before you hopped on, Cody, I was saying, like, that's kind of what makes it for me just a little bit easier to grasp. You know, it didn't feel like the Rangers let one, I don't want to say they let it, like, they didn't let it slip away, because they were right there in it. You know, every game in this series is a 1-goal game in the third period or an overtime. You know, like, they were in it. They were in it, but I felt like they never had control of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, they were kind of just hanging on and hanging on and hanging on and hanging on.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, you know, Avery Coyne, team of destiny, right? You were thinking, like, yes, they were hanging on. They were getting outplayed. Okay, they were down 3-2. But there's that little sliver of hope that they're going to just turn the corner and then explode. And it just didn't happen. I mean, listen, I said this all series long. I think you guys did too. Like, they needed their big guys to show up, and they didn't. And that's what it comes down to, right? Like, you had guys like Lauf and Trocheck, who are big guys, don't get me wrong, but they're middle, like, before these playoff series, like, they're, you know, they're their 4th, 5th, 6th best players on the team. Like, their top 4 players didn't show up. And, like, Kreider was inconsistent, but, like, you know, he did a little more than the other guys. But, like, and who knows? Fox is probably playing on one leg. We're going to hear he had, like, a torn ACL or something like that. But, dude, Fox, Kreider, Panarin, Mika, like, their guys didn't show up, and that's why they lost this series. Tkachuk was an animal. And, you know, Sean Avery said it. He's a fucking savage. Okay. And then Bennett scored, I think, three games in a row against us. Like, it's just, you know, like Barkov
is so good.
He's so good. Like, Barkov was doing what I like, making plays and creating space, what I was hoping Panarin was going to do the entire series. That's what Barkov was doing to us. And then, I mean, like, you know, fucking Mikola was like on our team last year, and the dude
he was actually find a beast.
His skates in front of him, and he was a beast.
Yeah.
He was a beast. Like, it just, I don't know, man. I mean, to me, it's, you know, and I see Avery there in silence, probably thinking about like ice cream or something like that, but I don't blame him. Like, I don't know what this team can do to get over the edge now. I'm at a puzzle because they have six guys that have no movement clauses and are fucking locked up for the next 3 to 6 years.
I kind of want to, unless Avery had something to say, I just kind of want to read the stats out that Cody was just saying, just so like people can have an idea of like who produced what. So the leading scorers in this series, three guys tied at 6 points, Sam Bennett, Carter Verhaeghe, and Vinny Trocheck all had 6 points. Bennett, 4 goals, Verhaeghe, 3 goals, Trocheck, 2 goals. Then you go down the list, Matthew Tkachuk, 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points, Alexi Lafreniere, 4 goals, no assists, 4 points, Gustav Forsling, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points. And then it's Panarin and Barkov, who both had four. Like, Barkov only had 4 points in that series, but I would have guessed he had 10.
Yeah. But also, like, dude, Panarin, 3 of his 4 points were like secondary assists.
Yeah.
Like, they were, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like, it's just like the production really, if you look at it, it doesn't look that different. But
because, dude, it was 2-1 games.
Yeah, but it felt so different, you know?
And the reason it felt different is because we had Igor Shesterkin, and that was the only difference in 4 out of those 6 games, not, you know, 3-2 and 2-1, not being like 5-2 and 4-1. Like, that was the only difference. It would have felt a lot different if we had a different goalie in net. And I really feel for the guy. Like, you saw Trocheck went and consult him after the game, right? Like, because he knows the team didn't do what they needed to do for Igor. Like, Igor, it just sucks because, like, I don't know if Igor could ever give us a series like that, like a season, like a playoff run like that again. Like, dude, he threw it all on the line, man. Like, he threw it all online. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
AVI, anything to say? Nothing. Just done.
I'm making him more sad.
Well, no, I think here's kind of the real question. Like, do you believe that this core can get it done?
Nope. I don't. You don't anymore. Nope. I don't. Because, and I'll tell you the reason why. What do you consider this core? Because
that was my next question.
Yes, because Othman and Perreault, that's a different story. The problem is
those guys already. You don't even like. You haven't seen.
I've been watching Othman since he's like fucking 9 years old. You know that.
Yeah.
But what I will say is, no, I don't think so. I hate to say it. I really do. But like, dude, they're gonna run into the Panthers every single fucking year if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, a team like the Panthers is going to be there, and like, I don't know how they're going to be able to get, like, hear me out. Every team that's in playoffs right now, like, let's just rewind the clock to yesterday, on their top line have 3 top guys except the Rangers. We were fucking playing a bottom six guy on just our top
rotating
wing, because we're rotating because we have nobody there. And that's a big fucking problem. It's a big problem. And I have no idea how they'll be able to fix that unless it ends up being Perreault or Othman, because they're in cap hell forever. Like, they're literally in cap hell with no, and the cap's not increasing much.
Sounds like they could have used Frank Vatrano.
But dude, even Vatrano, man, he's like, he's a middle guy. He's not a, like,
30 goal scorer. What do you mean?
Yeah, he had a great season. I know. I'm a big Frank advocate, but
and it worked in 2022.
I mean,
it did.
Listen, Frank Vatrano would have been better than having Wenberg on the top line. I'll tell you that much. The Wenberg thing is puzzling to me because he's a defensive guy and he's not a scorer. It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's so weird because I don't even think Lavi got out-coached. Like, I don't even think he got out-coached. I think they just, like, were the better team.
Well, there was really, like, just, I don't want to say out coach either, but like, there was just no response for what Florida had. Like the Rangers had a hard time scoring goals, had a hard time scoring on the power play. It was just, they just had no answer.
What, listen, the only thing they could have done, which is what I put in our group chat the day before, and I said there's no way they'll have the guts for it, was to move Panarin up onto that top line and absolutely blow the top six lines up and just stack them. That was the only way. That was the only way you might have a burst and find some offense if you put like Panarin, Kreider, you know, Trocheck, Mika, whatever. I don't know.
Well, what did the power play finish at? Like 1 for 15 in the series?
Horrible. Horrible.
Like that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. You know, if they get two or three more, it's a different outcome in those games, you know? I think that is actually the truth of what went wrong in this series is their power play went stale when we've known that's what's driven them all year. Is their they feed off of it. They do.
I think it's a combination of that, but I think also more so they really let the Panthers get to them and took some really dumb penalties, and the Panthers capitalized on every single one. Like the Trouba stuff, the like Lindgren stuff, like every time there was a dumb penalty that we were just like, why would he do that? The Panthers scored on that capital. Like they capitalized on our faults. And, you know, I don't know, like some of it takes discipline. I mean, like Trouba's the fucking captain of this team, and not to bash in this guy. I'm sure he's heard it enough, but like you're the captain of this team. How are you taking stupid penalties like 10 years into your career in an Eastern Conference Finals game? Like, why are you diving into players and grabbing their stick and throwing it out when it's like a 1-1 game? It's just like, you know, I get the leadership thing, and, you know, I get he's a big leader off the ice, but dude, like, I don't know. It just really frustrates me because that's just
that, so bad.
It was so bad. And it's just not the characteristics of a leader on the ice. So it's just, I don't know, really pissed me off.
I'm trying to think of something to get Avery back in the mix here. Do you,
Avery? I didn't hear what you said, so fucking repeat it.
Avery went on a fucking tangent.
I just said basically every season starts a new relationship, and I just get my heart broken after every giving it all I had, investing everything mentally into it. And I just get my heart broken every single year.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much longer I can invest myself as much as I have.
Cody, yeah,
I'll always be a Rangers fan for the rest of my life. Like I'm stuck, but I don't know how much investment I can give in an 82 game season. Like I have to wait a full another year to get back to this point. And like I said, it's like winning the lottery. You know, you could have the best lineup in the world, and the playoffs are a different animal.
Yeah.
Johnny, they won the President's Trophy.
I was just going to say Juan Soto just hit a 2-run shot in the ninth.
I know. Okay. Well, I was just going to make a Yankees analogy to what Avery was saying. Like that's, you know, Johnny knows, my Yankee and Rangers fandom are very, very similar. You know, very, very similar. Like they both crush me and they both ruin my lives. But you know, I've always leaned a little bit like that slightest bit more towards the Yankees because I grew up playing baseball my whole life. And I'm just a baseball guy. Like it's, you know, born and bred. So, but you know, when they lost that like third ALCS second ALCS, third time to the Astros, like, dude, that for me was kind of what you're feeling now, because I was like, holy shit, they might actually like never win with this core ever. I was like, holy crap, they need to blow it up. And then, you know, last year they missed the playoffs. Sure enough, that's what it took for like ownership to be like, okay, we need to fix this team. And, you know, they traded for Alex Verdugo and Juan Soto and signed a couple guys, and now they're the best team in baseball. So like my point is, it's like, it's crushing right now, and you're very stuck in the fandom because it's who we are, right? Like we live for the sports. Like we think about the Rangers, and you know, I think about the Yankees too, and I know you're a Yankees guy too, Avery. You know, Johnny thinks about like pickleball, and you know, it's like we think about that shit like the morning of the games. Like we wake up and we're like, today is game day. And that's because we love this these teams so much. And it's just like, you know, we like ride and die with them. And it's just tough. Like I'm just thinking about the analogy.
But Cody,
but here's
my thing. I understand. Like, use the Yankee reference. They're the best team in baseball right now. They could fucking go in the playoffs and lose in the first round.
Yeah.
And that's what the Rangers have been. They won the President's Trophy this year, and they didn't get it done. And in my lifetime, they've been to the Stanley Cup. They've been to the Eastern Conference Final. They've been to the second round, and they just don't win. And then they rebuilt or retooled, whatever you want to call it. And they
put out can we bring that up?
They put out a letter, and they brought a new owner, a new management, and they brought in new coaches, and it's just every damn year I try so hard to be positive. You know, you know me, I'm the beacon of hope. And how much more faith can I put into an organization that has just crushed my heart every single season of my life?
Well, I was gonna say you mentioned the rebuild. And
don't do this to me.
Well, no, we're not that far from when we were in one, you know. Yeah. Like David Quinn was the coach of this team 3 years ago, you know. Like you kind of think about that, they were ahead of schedule in 2022. Last year's disappointing, this year's kind of like where they should have been, you know. And now it's like next year, maybe they learn from this year and get over that, like, you know what I mean? Like these are all learning experiences. And Cody, that's what we were saying before you hopped on. Like, there were a lot of questions going into this season about Kako, about Lafreniere, Trocheck, and what these guys mean to the team and what they can be. And yeah, I think a lot of the questions were answered, you know, and I think that's something you can look at also. And again, like, the next question I'm going to ask you guys, probably the last one I ask you guys, is there's probably a couple people that we won't see in a Ranger jersey again next year. And I'm curious to ask you guys who you think those guys might be.
I don't know, but I don't have an attachment to anybody right now.
Yeah. I honestly, and I said this morning to all you guys, like, there are five players on the Rangers right now that I'm like, build around them. They're the future. Like, if they want to win a cup, like, it's got to be around these guys. And to me, it's like, it's Lof, it's Igor, it's Fox, even though Fox was hurt, it's Schneider, and it's Trocheck. Like, those are the five guys. And then you got to build around that, because those are the five guys who are gamer.
Miller.
Cooley and Miller, too.
There's other guys on the team who obviously can be part of the team. They're not just going to dump everybody. It's impossible. Like, but to me, those are the five guys that I saw in these playoffs, like, just throw everything they had at it. Fox aside, obviously. But
Fox,
like,
still did, dude. Yeah, I think Fox deserves a little more credit, honestly. Like,
no, and I also still think, and people are probably going to combat this, but I still think Panarin should be on the Rangers. I do.
Yeah.
Hear me out. Panarin's not going anywhere. He's my favorite player in hockey. That said, I'm very disappointed at, I feel like it only happens to the fucking Rangers. And this is what you're going on, Avery. Like, it's only us where our superstar athlete doesn't perform when we need him to. Like, I always feel like it's only fucking us. And I'm just sick of it, honestly.
Yeah. I was talking to Johnny about this a little bit before we recorded. And I don't really have much to say. Like, on this.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up here shortly. We'll wrap it up.
But, what makes a guy like Tkachuk apart from Panarin is he has the physical aspect, right? Like, they mm-hmm. both had the same amount of points. I don't think Tkachuk was like a superstar in the series. He was just, like you said, an animal. Like Sean Avery puts it, like, mm-hmm. he goes in the corners, he gets the puck, mm-hmm. and I think that's what separates him from Panarin. But Panarin is still a superstar. He just needs to figure out how to change his game to a different level in the playoffs. But I still think that he means so much to this franchise. He's a player that gets you into the playoffs.
I love Panarin. He's a player. I would think twice and trade him for Tkachuk.
That's crazy. I still think
it's not.
What do you say?
Johnny knows, and I will say this: Johnny knows for years. I have loved Matthew Tkachuk for years.
I think you said trade him for Tkachuk. I think anyone would trade anyone for Tkachuk. I thought you said you wouldn't think twice trading him.
Oh no. That's absurd. No. I'm saying if we're in this series and you're offering me an out and you're like, hey, you can trade Panarin for Tkachuk, I'm not thinking twice about it. I mean, it's right. I think
I just think overarching, like he's the guy that gets you to where you need to be. He just needs to figure out how to continue through. And I think that saying that we should trade him over their countless names, is crazy. There's way more people in the pecking order that should be.
So, yeah, I mean, anyways, I want to get back to Johnny's original point. And, you know, before we do that, I'm going to talk some contracts. But before I do that, I wanted to talk about one of our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NHL and NBA playoffs this season. Every stat, matchup, and even line odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code BLEAV. Your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BLEAV. BetOnline is always where the game starts. Now, I want to get back to the contracts of this team. So, what we have is Artemi Panarin is locked up for the next 2 years at $11.643 million. Okay. Hold your breath. Mika is locked up at $8.5 million a year for the next 7 years. 7 years. That is until 2029-2030 season. He has the longest contract on our team. After that, Chris Kreider, we got him for 3 more years at 6.5. I'll take that all day. Best contract in hockey, we got Trocheck at 5.625 for the next 5 years. Hedl is going to be a tough one to swallow, I'm starting to think, but we will see, is 4.437 for the next 3 years. Gaudreau, 3.6, worth every fucking penny. Right, boys? Next 3 years. And then here we get into the interesting part. Oh no, sorry. We have Brodzy too, we got 787K for the next couple of years. But then from forwards, we have a bunch of guys who are on their last year. So that's Lafreniere, Edstrom, Cooley, Rempe, VC. They're all on their last year. And then Kako's an RFA. Obviously, all the guys we traded for are signed in the offseason are UFAs. So that's Roz. That's Berge, that's Wheeler, that is Gustafson, and then who else do we have? And then on defense, we have Keandre for 1 more year. We have Zach Jones for 1 more year, which is very interesting. We have Trouba for 2 more years at $8 million. Awesome. And then we have Fox for 5 more years at $9.5 million. And lastly, we have Igor and Quick both for 1 more year. So, all that said, what do you guys think?
About what? Everyone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's where you were going with this?
Yeah.
I think the biggest fear is Igor's contract coming up soon. And if there's no extension there, I will get worried, because if it's not for him, I don't know what the hell happens here. Not that I would think he wants to go anywhere else, but you never know. So this window is open as long as Igor's here, in my opinion.
Okay.
You guys?
Avery?
Nope.
I mean, you just read through the whole damn fucking roster.
Well, you could just ask that. What?
You could have just asked, like,
I wanted you to see from a lens of why we're so fucked is what I wanted you to see, number one. And number two, we have some really hard decisions to make because we have like 3 or 4 RFAs, including Schneider, Lindgren, and Kako. So some decisions to be made.
I think Kako's gone.
He's got.
I don't think he's gonna want. He probably wants a better opportunity for himself.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. Hey. I think it's the best thing for both parties here. You know.
Okay. What do they do with Lof? I mean, they gotta lock him up. He's got 1 year left. Like there's so many. Here's what I was alluding to. There's a lot of
Lindgren might be gone too.
What?
I think Lindgren might be gone too.
Yeah. I mean, how can he not be? How are they going to afford him? That's what I'm alluding to is they have all these fucking guys that are locked up for 3+ years. Okay. Except for Panarin and Trouba, who are two. And Drury and Gorton decided to give every fucking guy and their mother a no trade clause. So what are we going to do? That's what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm. So funny. Alex just sent a tweet in here.
I heard him on the pod, dude. Oh, yeah. That dude fucking blew it.
Alex just sent that in here. But listen, man, we can dive into that more, I feel like, in the summer, you know, when we talk free agency and whatnot. I think just got to, you know, we'll get there.
I don't even want to talk free agency.
Yeah, we'll get there. But also, I don't have any more thoughts if you guys want to wrap this show up tonight. I will just say we'll record again, I think, after exit interviews maybe, just to if anything happens in those, that's worth talking about. But I guess just to wrap it up, do you guys have anything?
Cody? No, but when is free agency?
July 1.
July 1.
But I just want to say again, we love everyone that has supported this show. We've picked up so many new listeners, which has been amazing. And you know, Cody, I mentioned this before you hopped on, like this is our third full season, first full season with Avery. You know, we're hoping to continue to do more and more. And I know it's going to get harder and harder with just how our lives work, but, it's been a very, very, very fun experience just doing this a lot. So, really appreciate all you guys that listen. And
I mean, it's crazy. The last 2 months we've been in the top 6 in hockey podcast. Like,
yeah.
It's unbelievable. And wild. And you guys are the best. It means the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and most importantly, we feel your pain. We feel your pain. Trust us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cody, send it off.
All right. Can we do it together? I don't know if I have the gut.
Nope.
LFGR, baby.